Radio.
Missionaries on a Mission. A talk by Father Hai Hong at the Capuchin Franciscan Youth Fest 2015.
Okay, so for those of you who just arrived, we've been talking about prayer. Our theme for this retreat, this conference, is prayer, mission, and peace. So we start with prayer, opening up our hearts, allowing the Lord to open up our desires and the silences of our hearts so that we can see with the eyes of our heart when we pray. Now, in our prayer, especially in that gaze of the San Damiano crucifix, as Francis and Claire did, it's not just for me and Jesus. It's not just you and me, Jesus, but that love that we encounter here in that gaze, that love that opens up our hearts, always calls us out to mission. Okay? Always calls us out to mission. When we gaze with the eyes of our hearts are on fire. It ought to be on fire to be sent out on mission. As Pope Francis wrote in his apostolic letter recently, Evangelii Gaudium, the joy of the gospel, he says that the church should always be continually at a state of mission. Always on mission. Okay? Sister Kathleen Burns, who is a sister of Notre Dame in California, in Southern California, she says that in connecting prayer and missionary work, she says you can't have a mystical experience without a missionary experience. You can't have a mystical experience without a missionary experience. The two go together. And I think that's very much a part of our Capuchin charism. We were founded as a reform in the 1500s to balance out that active and contemplative life. Okay? We start and are rooted and founded on the heart of prayer, but that prayer moves us out to mission, so we're sent. And that's exactly what happened to St. Francis. He was a very great introvert. He wanted to pray and be with the Lord. He never envisioned on finding this humongous order, okay? And so, in contemplating and reflecting on that, he was asking Brother Sylvester, who was the first priest in the order, as well as Sister Claire, what should I do? Should I be a recluse and a monk and be a contemplative in the cave and pray all day, be with the Lord, which is very important, right? Or should I go out and about and preach the gospel message? He was discerning this. He was very conflicted. And so when he came across Sylvester and Claire, he asked them to help him discern. And after a period of time in prayer, Claire and Sylvester told him, the Lord has called you to preach the gospel message. Okay, so he was out and about too from his mystical experience. He went out to have a missionary experience. And so that's what we're called to do now. We're going to move to the second phase of our talk this whole weekend. As missionaries on mission, young adults, not just the friars wearing brown, but all of you, you are set on fire. Your hearts should be on fire for mission. As St. Catherine of Siena said, if you were to be what you were called and made to be, you would set the world on fire. You'd set the world on fire. Now, this was something that Pope Francis said to the group of young adults just like you, your age, in Manila just this past January. No, I was going to say Sarah. Sarah.
Claudia.
Claudia. Can you read this for me?
And we have so much information, we don't know what to do. We run the risk of becoming museum youth.
Because we constantly have Twitter, Facebook, so much information, right? So we run the risk of being museum youth, meaning that we have all that information collected in our database, right? But we don't know what to do with it. So he asked the youth, just like you, your age,
which is the most important subject that you have to learn in university, to learn in life.
What do you think he said? With all that information that you collect in your data, what's the most important thing that you ought to learn? Just this past January, he said this.
Compassion.
Exactly. Go ahead.
To learn how to love. This is the challenge that life offers you, to learn how to love, not just accumulating information without knowing what to do with it, but through that love, that information bear fruit.
Thank you, Claudia. To learn how to love, that's the most important thing that you can learn in life. to set your heart so on fire with God's love, the love that you saw here on the crucifix, the love that you gaze upon. Share that love with others. To learn how to love like He loved, to set the world on fire with His love. That's the most important thing you can learn in love. Now, when we talk about being mission, to be sent, what does it mean to be a missionary, to be sent? Are all of us called to go to Papua New Guinea like Bishop Don? Are all of us called to go to far distant lands as missionaries? Perhaps not. Those of you who have your Bible apps on your phone, can you pull them out and help me out real quick? Go to the book of Acts, okay? Go to the book of Acts. Go to Acts 12:25. And just hold that thought for a minute. Go to Acts 12:25. Now, when I was thinking and praying about mission, well, what does the Bible say to us about mission and being sent, right? Well, actually, in the Old Testament, believe it or not, the Old Testament only talks about mission and missionary work 5 times. Total of 5 times, right? For example, the young men were sent out, like Caleb, were sent out on mission to check out Canaan, the promised land, to see how it was. They were sent out on mission. After Elijah passed away, he passed on his mission. Okay, and in the New Testament, guess how many times the word mission comes up? In the Gospels, in the 4 Gospels, how many times does the word mission come up? Any guesses? 65? 365? 0. Kind of surprising, huh? The word mission comes up as a subtitle or a title. The Bible scholars put it in, like the missionary commission of the disciples when Jesus sent out the 12 or sent out the 72. He sent them out on mission. But that in itself, the word mission, is a subtitle, a title that the theologians put in. But in actual text, the word mission never comes up. So what does that tell us about mission, right? It only comes up 5 times, and it all comes up in the book of Acts. The book of Acts. So we're going to learn about what it means to be on mission through the Acts of the Apostles. So from 12:25, well, first from 11:26-30. In Antioch, some of you were telling me about the Antioch community. In Antioch, that was where they were first called Christians. And now the disciples should send relief, sending Barnabas and Saul. So from Antioch, Barnabas and Saul were sent out on mission. Okay? So that's the context. Now after, from 12:25, chapter 12, verse 25. After Barnabas and Saul completed their relief mission, they returned. So after they were sent, they came back. After they completed their relief mission, they returned to Jerusalem, taking with them John, who is called Mark. Now, just from reading that, what does that tell you about mission?
Growing.
Growing, okay.
Go out and come back.
Go out and come back, okay. Good. Sarah, thank you. Taking someone with you. Notice how when they came back, they took with them John, who is called Mark. Okay, that's the second aspect of mission that I'm going to talk to you about. The first aspect is relief. When you go out on mission, you always bring relief. You always go to help. You always bring to comfort. You always go to comfort someone. Relief, tangible relief. Whether it be food or shelter or clothing or water, you bring them relief. Tangible reality of God's love. Relief. Mission. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. Right? Relief. Mission. Then the second aspect is when you go and you come back, or even as you go, you bring someone with you to encounter Jesus. Just like Father Thomas said this morning. 2 aspects of mission. Remember that. To bring relief, and to bring someone closer to Jesus. okay? To bring relief and to bring someone closer to Jesus. So we glean the definition of being missionaries from here, from the Acts of the Apostles. And so for Francis, St. Francis, it was said in his biography that he was no deaf hearer of the gospel. He just didn't hear the gospel message and keep it for himself. But he went out to bring relief to the lepers, to the poor. And along the way, he also brought many other followers to become disciples, just like him, disciples of Christ. Michael Blastic, who's a Franciscan scholar, he writes in an article about the prayer that is found in the writings of Francis and the early brothers, that to pray truly, one must love truly. To pray, to be a contemplative, to be a mystic, you must really love truly. You must be sent out on mission to love. Now, we can do many great things in our life of prayer, like we said last night, to be present with the Eucharist, to be fully devoted in the Holy Mass. Those are all wonderful things. Those are all things that we ought to do. But it doesn't stop there, because we're all called to be sent out on mission. At the end of Mass, what do we say? Go in peace, right? And you say? Go in peace. Go in peace. Thanks be to God, right? When I was a kid, whenever I said, the Mass is ended, go in peace. Oh, thanks be to God, the Mass is ended. Right? But thanks be to God because we are sent. Okay, repeat after me. Ite missa est. Ite, go. In the Latin, go. Ite, go. Missa est, you are sent. Go, you are sent. Missa, that's where we get the word Mass. Misa, you're sent. Go, you are sent because you received God's love in the Word and the Eucharist. So go and bring relief. Bring God's love, just like you have received God's love. Go, you are sent on mission. That's how much our hearts ought to be burning every time we step out of Mass. Okay? These were pictures of a mission trip that the postulants and I from California as well as Colorado province, we did a joint mission trip to Juarez. We've been doing this for 3 years. And every time we go, we feel so blessed to be just with these people. Now, when you think about Juarez is a border city just on the other side of Texas. You would think that a city close to the United States would have, you know, good water plumbing, right? Good hygiene. Pretty industrialized city. But just on the other side of the border, there are many parts in Juarez that are in pretty bad shape. Just a couple years ago, Juarez was the most violent, the most dangerous city in the whole world. So many murders and homicides because of the drug cartels going on there. So we go for a week. We build chicken coops and dens for goats and sheep, and we plant vegetable gardens and be present with the community. Great experience for us. But many times when we are sent and have that vision of being missionaries, they're really the ones who are missionaries for us. They are the ones who set our hearts on fire. Okay? Because why? They have that poverty of heart, just like I was talking about this afternoon. Ilia Delio says, the poor person prays with all their being, and the poor person is free to love. Remember how I was saying that when you gaze upon the crucifix, you ought to be totally poor, right? You ought to be incomplete so that he completes you, right? Well, that's what the poor people do. That's how my experience has been with the people in Juarez. They are so utterly poor, but because they are so poor, they are so free to love. Just like Jesus loved. That's how our hearts ought to be. Now, these people in Juarez, that's Father Bill Krause, the postulant director from Denver, and that's one of the other postulants playing with one of the kids there. They don't have running water. They don't have a flushing toilet. What they do is they have a big latrine, and after you go, either number one or two, you dump in sawdust over it just to cover it up, and eventually it just decomposes, okay? To heat up the water for your bath, you have to p- pour the water in a big bucket, a 5-gallon paint container, and then you heat it up with an electric coil. You have to wait for about 15 minutes just to get the water to be warm. So these people are really poor. They don't have anything. Their homes are probably about the size of that corner right there, of the piano to the window. The floors are just concrete, cement, sometimes just dirt. The wood roof is either falling apart or it's like a tin roof. Really nothing. Very simple, very poor. And yet their hearts are on fire for love, because they have received God's love in their prayer. Okay. And if only we could be sent as missionaries to pray and to love like they do. Now again, when I talk about poverty, being poor, it's not about, I don't expect you to bulldoze your house down and live like those in Juarez. It can be a special vocation if you choose to be a missionary to live with them. But again, it's the poverty of heart, the poverty of the cross, that can be more of a challenge for us. Sometimes that can be even more difficult to do when we strip away the ego, the pride, the vanity, the self. From 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "For your sake Christ became poor, although he was rich, so that by his poverty you might become rich." He became poor so that you might become rich. And so if you are so rich with his love, why not share that love in here with others? What's keeping your heart from bursting into flame with God's love? What's keeping your heart from being sent out in flames as a missionary? Because Christ totally loved you and still loves you, as St. Clare says in her third letter. We've gone over three letters from St. Clare now, the first letter, second letter. Now this is a passage from her third letter to Agnes. "Totally love him who gave himself totally for you." Totally. Unabashed, unabandoned, unafraid, totally for you. That's how much our hearts ought to be on fire. Turn to your partner or someone sitting next to you and just share real quick, how can you have that fire in your heart? Brainstorm, maybe just even one or two practical ways. How can you have this heart on fire to be a missionary, to bring relief, to share God's love? Okay, go for it. Our heart's got to be so on fire that we got to love like Jesus loved. From Bonaventure, another great Franciscan in our heritage. I haven't met you yet. What's your name?
Charmaine.
Charmaine, can you read this one for me? Please.
"Our love for God has turned to you, Christ, and ice within us. Most certainly, if we were burning with love, we would shed our worldly garments to follow the naked Christ. Those who feel very hot take off their clothes. It is a sign of great coldness in us that we should snatch so eagerly at these perishable things."
Thank you, Charmaine. Our heart's got to be so on fire that we shed our worldly garments, not just physical garments, but worldly garments in our hearts, to follow the naked Christ, right? What is that song that they sing? "It's getting hot in here." I won't continue it. Okay. But our heart's got to be so on fire that we shed everything we have to follow the naked Christ. To follow the naked Christ who loves us. That's how we are called to be missionaries. Now, how do we do that? Because our hearts can be stubborn, hard, cold, as Bonaventure said. How do we do that? Well, again, it goes back to the gaze of St. Clare. She calls this a mirror. This is the mirror. Okay? She says, "Place your mind before the mirror of eternity. Place your soul in the brilliance of glory. Place your heart in the figure of the divine substance, and through contemplation, transform your entire being into the image of the Godhead itself. Place your mind before this mirror, so that your hearts, your being, your whole soul, your whole livelihood can be transformed into this image. Now, what do we do when we place ourselves before the mirror, right? You got to look at yourself, right? What do you do in the morning? You got to look at yourself, right? If your hair is out of place, you got to comb your hair. If something is stuck in your teeth, you got to floss it, pick it out. If you have a pimple, you got to pop it, right? Oh, come on, don't tell me you haven't popped your pimple. Right, you look at the mirror so you can see yourself. And especially, you see yourself so that others can see you in a presentable way, right? Because you're concerned about how others see you. Isn't that true? That's the truth, right? Right? I don't want to go out and preach in front of you if I have, like, spinach stuck in my teeth, right? So I look in the mirror so that I can see if I'm presentable in the eyes of the world. But the opposite is true. For Claire, look in this mirror. And instead of being worried and concerned about the eyes of the world, be concerned about the image that is reflected from this mirror. Because in the mirror, when you look at the mirror, who do you see? Yourself, right? You see yourself, right? But do you see this self in the mirror? Because if this is the mirror, in the ancients, for St. Clair, when she talked about the mirror, it's not just a simple mirror reflection, but it's the very livelihood, the very being of the mirror. So the reflection of the mirror is not you, is not Father Hai reflected from the mirror, but it ought to be Jesus reflected in that mirror back to Father Hai. In other words, I got to be that image. I got to be this to the world. If I want my heart to be set on fire, to be a missionary, to be on mission, I got to look like this. This has got to be the image of my mirror. Okay? It's kind of like when people, the Kim Kardashians of the world, when they take their selfies in the mirror, right? They want to show themselves to the world. You look in the mirror so you can take your selfie. Well, look in this mirror and take your selfie here. Do you all have your phones with you, by the way? Okay, you'll probably never hear a priest say this in church, but reach into your pocket, take out your phone. Go ahead, take out your phone right now. All right. Okay, everyone stand up real quick. Stand up real quick. And now, all right, now turn around. Okay, turn around. Go ahead, turn around. And if you don't have your phone, with you, share with someone else, okay? You're going to take a Jesus selfie. Take your selfie with the image of Jesus in the back, all right? Go ahead, take your Jesus selfie. All right? Go for it. Now hang on to that image, okay? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right. Here we go, all right? Hang on to that image. I want, not now, not during adoration. Hopefully not during confession. All right. I want you to flood the internet. All right. Just flood your Twitters, your Facebook account. Do whatever. Flood the internet with your Jesus selfie. Hashtag Jesus selfie. Hashtag prayer. Hashtag CYF. Hashtag CapFest. Whatever. Show the whole world what a good group of young adults you are. Okay. There's Wi-Fi here too. So you can even do it on Wi-Fi. All right. I've already posted up some pictures of where's Joseph Villanesa group. I've already posted up some of our pictures, so you can do all of that. Now, what happens when you take a selfie? Okay, how many of you have a selfie stick, by the way? Don't be shy. Oh, there's a selfie stick right there. Okay. So when you post all this stuff up on your Facebook, whatever, again, when you post up yourself, when people post up selfies, I've never taken a selfie really, other than with Jesus. Honest. But you post it up so that people can notice and pay attention to you and see what you're doing, right? Some of that is good and innocent. But again, if this is your mirror, why do we need to take a selfie in the bathroom mirror when this is our mirror? This ought to be our selfie. When we want to show the world ourselves, ourself, is that the true self? This ought to be ourself. This ought to be our selfie, because this is our mirror. Gaze into this mirror, the mirror of eternity, as Claire says. Take a picture of this selfie so that you can reflect this selfie to the world. So again, if we want our hearts on fire, we got to be this selfie. Not our own hearts of brokenness or pride or ego. Of course, God works in all of that. God works in our brokenness. But we got to be so transformed and moved and changed so that our hearts can be like Christ's heart. Our image, our face got to be like His face. Our selfies got to be like this selfie. I like that. What matters most is how you see yourself. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself like Jesus? Okay. Ilya Dale, I've been quoting Ilya Dale a lot. I like her a lot. If you want to read more about some of the ideas and concepts and reflections I'm talking to you about, read her books, Franciscan Prayer, A Heart Full of Love. She writes on prayer. She writes on Bonaventure. Look her up. She says, "We become what we love, and who we love shapes what we become. As one sees the sufferings of Christ, so one is to love. We become what we love, and who we are ought to be who we love." I gotta love like this love. My heart's gotta be soul shaped and fashioned so that I gotta be like this love, like this selfie, like this image of the mirror. I gotta walk around with this mirror all day so that I can reflect this image all day. And I'm not talking about just a nice, pretty looking face, but look at this face, look at this woundedness. As you see Him bruised and broken and nailed and suffering on the cross, that's the image of the mirror that you see in those who are broken and bruised and lonely and abandoned and suffering in the world. Your brother and sister who is poor and hungry, or even the person sitting next to you who is so lonely and abandoned. With me so far? So it may not be a pleasant image, but if we can reflect that image, it can be glorious. Because remember, this is an image of glory too. The resurrected Christ. Again, having our hearts fashioned to be a missionary, to be sent, to be on fire. St. Bonaventure says this. He has this image about molten iron. I've never worked with iron, but I imagine it can be very hard work. He has this image where, here, let me read it to you. "Do you long to be transformed into Him to the point where your heart is aflame with love? Just as iron is heated to the point where it becomes molten and it can take the imprint of any mark or sign. So a heart burning fervently with love of Christ crucified can receive the imprint of the crucified Lord Himself or His cross. Such a loving heart is carried over to the crucified Lord or transformed into Him." And that is what happened to St. Francis. That was from the sermon that Bonaventure gave on the Feast of St. Francis. So just like iron is moldable, is bendable, is fashionable when it's hot. And so too, when our hearts are on fire and burning hot, it can be molded and fashioned into this image. You can mold iron into anything you want, a horseshoe, a sword, whatever. Well, if iron is that hard, think about your heart. If your heart is on fire to be a missionary, to spread God's love and joy and peace, if it's on fire, it can be molded into this, to this image. That's what we're called to. Have any of you seen The Vow? The movie The Vow. It's based on a true story. I like watching movies. I don't get to watch it a lot, but when I do, I enjoy movies. So I'm gonna show you a clip of The Vow. If you haven't seen it, the premise is this. We're almost done, so we'll have time for adoration. So the story is, this is based on a true story, and this couple is still alive in the United States. So the story is, a young couple, they fall in love, they get married, and one day, unfortunately, they get into an accident. The wife hits her head so hard that she has amnesia. She forgets who her husband is. She forgets that she is even married to this guy. And so throughout their lives, even to this day, she has no recollection of being married at all. But they're still together, happily married. And so throughout the movie, the portrayal is Channing Tatum is trying to win her heart back. He's trying to get her to remember that she used to love him. Get her to remember that they've been married. And so this is the scene is towards the end, and so he's giving up, sort of. He's getting frustrated. So this is the scene. And then I want to use some of the lines that come from here. Makes me cry every time. Is that a nice line? How do you look at the girl you love and tell yourself it's time to walk away? Before I entered religious life with the captions, I said something similar to my girlfriend, and she slapped me across the face. No, that didn't happen, but it would have been a good story. No, the line I want to take from here is what Rachel McAdams says. I hope someday I can learn how to love that the way you love me. I hope someday I can learn how to love the way that you love me. I hope someday I can learn how to love the way you love me. That's how our hearts got to be on fire for mission. If we're called to prayer, if we're called to be with the Lord, don't just stop there. We got to learn how to love the way that He loves us. That's how we bring relief. That's how we bring the people closer to Christ. If we learn how to love the way that He loves us, to mold our hearts and our images to this mirror, to reflect exactly the way He loved, exactly the way He looks. I hope someday I can learn how to love the way that you love me. One of my favorite saints, Saint Conrad of Partzim. He was a porter, he was a lay brother, he wasn't a priest. And for 40 years in the friary, all he did was simply open the door, welcome guests, give food to the poor people coming to the door for 40 years. And he was a saint. And he said this, "The cross is my book." Now you can say the cross is my iPad or the cross is my iBook. But he learned everything. He learned how to love from this book. His heart was like molten iron being fashioned into this firing heart. And he also says this at the end of his life, "I always rejoice in the Lord, having only this complaint that I do not love enough. I don't love enough. I can always love more. I can always hope to learn how to love the way that you love me." So some reflection questions for you. We won't have time, I don't think. It depends on Father Thomas for adoration. We have adoration now. But perhaps some reflection questions for you during adoration. Pray and ask the Lord, what direction is your mirror pointing? Okay, is it to yourself? Is it to myself? Or is it to God? What prevents you from reflecting that image of accepting God's love on the cross? Many things can prevent us, whether it be pride or jealousy or hatred or lack of forgiveness, whatever it may be. Are you willing to be transformed, to molded and shaped into this mirror image? If so, what are you willing to risk? What are you going to change? And do you see yourself as a passionate missionary, just like Saul and Barnabas, as a passionate missionary sent out for mission, to bring relief, to bring others to Christ, to be another passionate Christ for others, to be another image of this selfie for others? Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Saint Francis and Saint Clare, Saint Conrad of Parsim.
That was Father Haihong with Missionaries on a Mission. The Capuchin Franciscan Youth Fest was held at Ruthane Conference Centre in Sydney. And for more from the Capuchin Youth Fest, and for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.